Hi, welcome to the Street Preacher's Catechism class. Once again, we're looking at, we're studying the Westminster Larger Catechism, and we've been looking at the appointed mediator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into the world to be a mediator, to reconcile men to God, to bring an end to the warfare between man and God, and to bring us into a, hopefully to bring us into a covenant of friendship with God, rather that is than being his enemies. And we've been looking at the work of the mediator, how he has accomplished this, how he has made for men and women terms of peace between sinful men and God himself, a holy and righteous God. And that, of course, by Jesus Christ humbling himself, coming into the world, dying, rising, ascending, and at the right hand of God. And so now we come to the final two sections, if you like, the humiliation, the humbling of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then his exaltation. His humiliation finished with his being placed in the tomb for 3 days, and his exaltation began with his resurrection from the tomb, and it finishes here today with this subject, the return of Christ. And following that, beginning tomorrow, hopefully, Lord willing, we shall begin to look at the benefits of the mediator and his work. So today it's the return of Christ. This is the final act, if you like, in the exaltation, the mediator's work in its totality, and especially so in his exaltation. He's come a long way, all the way from glory down into this world, made of a woman, lived in subjection to God's law, obedience unto death, the death of the cross, the tomb and his resurrection, returned to heaven, ruling and reigning at the right hand of God, and ready to come and to finish the job that he has begun. So our question 56 and its answer of our Westminster or Larger Catechism today is, how is Christ exalted in his coming to judge the world? And the answer given by the catechist is, Christ is to be exalted in his coming again to judge the world, in that he, who was justly judged and condemned by wicked men, shall come again at the last day in great power, and in the full manifestation of his own glory and of his Father's, with all his holy angels, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, to judge the world in righteousness. End of quote. And of course, the catechism, in case you don't know it, if you were to look at it, study the catechism for yourself, you would see that the teacher, he gives various texts, you know, of scripture for each and every one of these doctrines, proving them, in other words, you know. So I only give you one each day, for time's sake, but if you were to look at the catechism itself, you would see that there's a whole variety of texts given to support the teaching. Today, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31 I've chosen, because he, God that is, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. So the day has been appointed. We don't know when that day is, But the judge has been appointed. We know who that is, Judge Jesus. He has been appointed to judge the world in righteousness. It's the ultimate, if you like, it's the conclusion to his exaltation. Coming to judge a world that judged and condemned him, he will come and judge and condemn that world. That is, of course, the unbelieving world. So the return of Christ is, you might say it's the next great event on God's calendar. You know, you think of all the acts of God and throughout redemptive history, from creation, the appointing of Moses as a mediator, and giving of the law, the flood, acts of judgment, the flood, and Sodom and Gomorrah, the prophets, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, and so on. Different events, you know, that stand out on the calendar, in the calendar of redemptive history. And the last and final one is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's marked on God's calendar. There's a day coming. There's a moment. A decade, a year, a month, a week, a day, an hour, a moment even, marked on God's calendar, when he will give the nod to his son, Jesus Christ, and say to him, in effect, say to him, "Son, go and finish the job." And the Son of God will descend from heaven. He will return to this world, not as he came, not in the same fashion, not as a little bitty baby in a manger, but with his holy angels. The return of Christ, that's the next great event on God's calendar. And I would suggest to you, well, from my reading of Scripture, my understanding of it at least anyway, that's not a millennium away, that's not a long way away, the signs of the times. We'll come to that in a moment. But I think that his return is somewhat imminent. The time, we're told, the closest that we can get from the Bible is at the end of the age. It doesn't give us a century or a decade or whatever. We're not told that's only the Father knows exactly when. It's on his calendar, and his calendar seen by him alone and nobody else. So the only time factor, if you like, that the Bible gives us is the end of the age. That's when he returns. When that will be, of course, well, we can, we have to use discernment. Jesus tells us things, as to how things will be at the end of the age. For instance, one phrase that he uses, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man appears. So what was it like in the days of Noah? Well, it was absolutely horrendous, evil, wickedness, beyond, I think, what we're seeing today. Like, it's, we're getting there, we're coming close, but not quite there yet. So there won't be good days, there won't be lovely days, peaceful days, quiet and serenity. There will be days when evil shall abound. And because the love of many, love that is towards God and towards his fellow man, is in decline, many will give up. Many will turn away. So we can, use biblical discernment, as I say, we are given some indicators, as to the close proximity of the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But speculation with regards to the day, many, of course, have tried in the past, and they've stumbled over their speculations, fallen in the dust. It's fruitless, it's futile, you know, we just do not know. That's it, end of story, finish, you know, that there's no more to be said, because we just do not know. But the signs of his coming, well, they are to be expected. And as God's people, from a Christian perspective, well, we are to look for. We're to watch and pray. We're to pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. That should be the heart cry of every Christian person in this world. Looking for, longing for, desiring for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that will be an end to this sin-cursed world, man's rebellion against God. It will be the time when all the wrongs are righted. That is, when Judge Jesus judges all the wickedness of men's hearts. And of course, it will be the time when, following that judgment, when the new heaven and the new earth are ushered in, wherein dwells only righteousness. That's the longing, that's the heart of every true Christian believer. And that's our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus Christ, and come quickly. And so we're to expect it, we're to long for it, we're to pray for it. We should be praying for it daily. Come, Lord Jesus. And of course, with this in mind, it's important that we are prepared, that we are ready for his coming. You know, that we're living holy lives, you know, as we're supposed to do. God rewards holiness, you know. He's displeased with our unholiness, with our disobedience. And it's not, again, I might say, you know, it's not that, don't misunderstand me, but we don't get right with God by obeying his commandments, you know, by striving for holiness. We do that because we are right with God. We only get right with God by faith, through trusting in Jesus Christ and his obedience. But because we've been saved, because by the blood of God's Lamb we've been redeemed, reconciled to God, given peace with God and the peace of God, out of a heart of gratitude and love for God, then we strive to be holy, to obey God. Which God commands us to do, be holy for as I am holy. So that's how you live in expectation of his coming. That's how you are prepared for his coming, that God finds you holiness, that he doesn't find you watching pornography on a screen, that he doesn't find you, you know, in some den of iniquity, that he doesn't find you in sin, as it were, wallowing in sin, living, you know, living in fellowship with the world and with the works of darkness. But that you're holy, blameless before him in love, loving him. That's God's command, that you should love him. That's obedience. That's obedience. But of course, if you've never seen the glory of Jesus Christ, if you've never beheld the glory of Jesus Christ, through faith, that is, in this world, well, you'll not behold his glory in the world to come. So your starting place, if you've not seen the glorious, if you've not beheld the glorious Son of God in these catechism lessons, in these, the work of the mediator, is coming, is living and dying and rising, and is coming, returning again to judge the world in righteousness. If you have not seen the glory of the Son of God and God the Son through the eyes of faith, then you're not prepared, you're not ready for his coming, and you need to get ready. And you say, how do I do that? Well, repent. Is behold from Scripture, from the Bible. You know, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Son of God, the only mediator, the only way back to God from the dark path of sin, the only way out of your sinful condition. Here you are, conceived in sin with a sinful nature, born in sin, living in sin, dying in sin, but for the grace of God. of the grace of God coming to you and rescuing us by grace that we are saved through faith, not of yourself, not of your works. So only thinking you're a good person and you're doing good stuff, you know, and God's going to accept you, Jesus is going to be okay when you come because you just, you know, you say you love everybody. Well, the truth of the matter is that you're not good, there's nobody good, and there's nobody does good but through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith, that is, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Faith is what you need. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's, you need to get right with God first. And then and only then are you prepared for the coming, the next great event on God's calendar. Only then are you prepared for His return, His coming. So the attitude, you know, towards this, the coming of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, for a believer is great joy. Great joy because, you know, it's what we are desiring, it's what we are expecting, and it's the end of this world as we know it. Because, you know, we're weary. Well, not just believers, I might say, you know, the whole of God's creation. If you read Romans chapter 8, you'll see there that the whole creation groans, you know. Everything, the whole of God's creation is out of sync because of man's sin. And all that's going to be corrected, you know. Everything, if you read the book of Colossians chapter 1, you'll see that that everything's going to be put back in order by the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming, His return, everything will be put back together again, the way it should be. And of course, for the believer, you know, they see it as the end of this world order, the anti-Christian attitude in the world, the hatefulness, you know, and the persecution that some Christians have to endure, you know. In countries like North Korea today, in places like Iran and parts of Russia, you know, where Christians are very sorely persecuted, simply and only because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And there have been times, points in history when that persecution's been even more fierce. Times, you know, the time of the Reformation, some 500 years ago, it was horrendous. But of course, well, the Bible tells us, you know, that just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His return in glory to judge the world, it's going to be even worse than ever it was before. There's that short reign of the Antichrist, and believers in Jesus, the church, as an institute will be gone. There'll be some believers. Will the Son of Man find faith when He comes on earth when He returns? Jesus asked the question in the Gospel of Matthew. Well, He doesn't answer that question, but the logic is, well, there will be, but there won't be very many left. And they will be hounded out of the earth. But that's a short reign. That's just prior to the coming, the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ to judge the world. So, you know, for believers, for them it's a delight, it's a joy. We're praying, come Lord Jesus quickly. But for the unbeliever, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you're rejecting Jesus just now, well then this ought to be a matter of great concern for you. Even more than that, absolute and utter dread, because it will be an awful day for unbelievers. He's coming, the Bible says, 2 Thessalonians, if you want to check it out, chapter 1, He's coming with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all those who do not know God, who do not know Him in a covenant of friendship. who haven't been reconciled to God, that is, who do not know God experimentally, that is, who do not know Him as their Father and their God, who do not know God and who obey not the gospel, who have not obeyed the call of the gospel. What's the call of the gospel? Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the call. Jesus calls you today, here, now. Will you obey? Will you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Will you kneel down before the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ? And will you call upon His name that you might be saved? That's the call. But He's coming to take vengeance upon you if you do not know God at that time, and if you have not obeyed the call of the gospel, you're in serious trouble. Now, I'm not saying that to frighten you, because I can't frighten you. I can't give you one single anxious moment about your sins. Only God can do that by His Spirit. Convict you of the reality of your sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment, this judgment to come. Only God Himself by His Spirit can do that. So that's not my agenda. My agenda is simply to tell you the truth. That's what the Catechist is doing when he tells us about the return of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ. He's simply telling us the truth from the Bible, and that's what I'm doing today. That's the truth. Jesus Christ is coming again to judge the world, to judge you and I. We shall all appear before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. For the believer, it will be a judgment of commendation, and for the unbeliever, it will be a judgment of condemnation. So, if you're not believing, it'll be a dreadful, dreadful day. Get out of my sight. I never knew you, God will say. So today you must repent and believe the gospel. Obey the call of the gospel and come to a knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. This is eternal life. And Jesus gives eternal life to His sheep, to those whom He calls. So the manner of His return, well, it will be personal. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, His disciples are told that this, as Jesus was ascending, returning back to heaven, they were told that the same Jesus who you see ascending now, who you've known and walked with these years, as you've seen Him in His resurrected state and condition, as you see Him ascending now, He will come in like manner. Jesus Christ personally, the one who is the mediator, the only mediator between God and men, stepped down into this world, was crucified at the hands of wicked men, suffered the wrath of God in order to reconcile men and women to God, raised from the dead by His own power, rules and reigns now, and returns in judgment. He, that same Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the one that I set before you here today, He is coming in like fashion. And if you have hated Him, you're going to be in serious bother. If you've not kissed the Son, He will be angry with you. So kiss the Son. Embrace the Son. Hug Him in repentance and faith. Cry out to Him, God, because that's who He is. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. He's coming personally, and it will be, He will come visibly. Visibly, every eye shall see Him. Nobody will ask the question, who is this? Because everyone will see Him, and everyone will know Him. And, He comes now, don't you know? Jesus is always coming. Always coming. He comes in judgments, you know. He comes shaking the world, convulsions, you know, throughout history. There have been many of them. Wars, you know, and tsunamis and earthquakes. Back in the Old Testament dispensation, there was the flood. There was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Coming, even today, even now. Even in this present virus thing, he has come. Comes invisibly. Only those who believe, only the faithful can see that. See his coming invisibly. But when he returns to judge the world in righteousness, he comes visibly, personally and visibly, and every eye shall see him. It will be miraculous, it will be supernatural. He will crash through the natural order of things with a shout, with the trump of God, be like lightning flashing from the east to the west, lighting up the entire world. It will be a cataclysmic day. It will be something to behold. Terrifying for the ungodly. Terrifying. More terrifying. You know, you see some events in history, maybe perhaps you've seen recordings. You've not experienced it, you know, but you've seen recordings of events that have taken place, men and women fleeing in terror for their lives because of something, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe an earthquake or something like that, or a tsunami. And you see the fear, you see the absolute terror on people's faces as they're running, trying to escape from the disaster. And that's absolutely nothing in comparison to this. Nothing. It will be sudden. It will be sudden. He comes like a thief in the night. When men are saying, peace, peace, what are you Christians bothered about? What are you so troubled about? You know, everything's okay, you know. Everything just carries on as it's always done since time began, you know. Peace, peace, they'll be saying when there really is no peace. Because they haven't made peace with God and do not have the peace of God. But that's what they'll be saying, you know, because they think everything's okay, and then suddenly, wham bam, the Son of God appears in this world. At a definite and a particular time appointed by God. And then comes the judgment. A judgment in righteousness like we have never seen before. Absolute justice. Yeah. There'll be no paying off the judge, no backhanders to the judge. There'll be no escaping, you know, with the lie, with the deceit, or the half-truth, as you might call it. No manipulation. You think of the courts today. I mean, think of this business taking place in North America just now. Look at that travesty yesterday. I don't know if you saw anything or you've been following it, like, you know, but the travesty of justice in the United States Senate yesterday, judging a man in absolute, utter unrighteousness, I would say, yeah, from anybody's perspective. We don't need any evidence, the woman said, huh? Condemning the man. Yeah? Well, that won't be in this day because the justice will be absolute. You will be judged in perfect righteousness. And you won't say something like, you know, well, you know, God, you know, you're God, I'm just a man, you know, and it's hardly fair for you, God, to judge me just a man. No, it won't be like that because, you see, the judge will be the man, Christ Jesus. Yeah? The one who knows what it's like to be a man, who walked this earth as a man, who was persecuted, who was tormented, who was rejected and despised of men. It's him, it's he who will judge you in that day with absolute justice, righteousness to the nth degree. There'll be no excuses in that day. there'll be no saying like Eve said, like Adam said, you know, concerning his wife, it was that woman that you gave me. Yeah. He wasn't just blaming his wife, he was blaming God. You gave her to me. Yeah. How many times have you gone through this life of yours, and how many times have you blamed God for things that have happened to you? Huh? Blame God for events in this world. Carped at God, you know, because things haven't gone your way. No, the justice will be perfectly righteous. All who ever lived, all who are presently living when he comes, they will be ushered before the judge, before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. Those who are living, but not just those who are living, those who are dead too. Those who are dead. The dead will be raised to be judged by Judge Jesus. And it matters not how you died. It matters not what was done with your remains. Whether you were drowned in the sea, buried in the sea, whether you were cremated or buried, however long ago that may have been, or however short time ago that might have been, your body will be raised, both the just and the unjust. Bodies will be raised from their graves, wherever those graves be, and brought before the throne of judgment to be judged in that day. And that's the day when every Christian will be acquitted. Because for them, you see, in Christ Jesus, trusting in Christ Jesus, in his righteousness, not their own, for them there is no condemnation now in time, and at the throne of Jesus Christ in judgment, there will be no condemnation then either. For them it will be, well done, my good and faithful servants. Faithful. Full of faith. That's the thing. That's the operating, that's the justifying factor. Faith, you see. Because they were faithful. Because they believed, because they trusted, not in themselves, not in some religious institution, but because they trusted in Jesus, in his person, his mediatorship, and his perfect work, his perfect righteousness. So for them it's not a matter of fear. When we talk about the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, it's not a matter of fear for them. On the contrary, of great joy, relief. It's an end of all their troubles. It's that time when God will stupefy, might so say, and wipe every tear from their eyes. What a day that will be. But for the unbelieving world, Even those who have never seen a church, never read a Bible, never had a church or a Bible, never heard the gospel, even they are accountable. All men are accountable. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, and die in sin. Because the thing is, you see, even without a Bible, even without me telling you, even without a church in your neighborhood, you know that God is. You know that God is, and your bounden duty to your Maker is to obey him, is to love him. Yeah? And for that, for not having done that, you've got no excuse. No excuse, not none whatsoever. If you lived in the darkest recesses of an Amazonian jungle, never seen the light of civilization, as we call it, that's a bit of a joke, but you know what I mean. Still accountable. No excuse for not knowing who God is. The creation everything that God has made leaves you without any excuse whatsoever. You know that God is, but you hold the truth, hold down the truth, that is, in unrighteousness and wickedness. You don't want there to be a God. You don't like God, the thought of God, because it's not in your nature to love God. Your nature causes you to hate God. It's the nature. You were conceived, you got it from your parents, who got it from their parents, who got it from their parents, all the way back to Adam, the first man. You're a sinner by natural generation. You got the virus in your mother's womb, and you came into the world with it, hating God and hating your neighbor. So, you know, in that day when Jesus judges you, saying, well, I was never in a church, you know. I never saw, but if I had a Bible, you know, it'd have been different. I would have loved you. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Only by the grace of God, only by the sovereign free grace of God would you do that. No other way. God must rescue you from your sinful nature and your sinful practice through the mediatorship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, you know, even without churches and without Bibles, you know, no excuse. Therefore, O man, whosoever you be, no excuse. But where? Let me ask you, where does that put you? If you have attended a church, if you have heard the gospel, maybe many, many, many times, where does that put you? If you have a Bible, if you have access to Bibles, access to the truth, where does that put you? I tell you, in a dreadful, dreadful place and position before Judge Jesus. If the unbelieving, who have never had the light of the gospel, if they're accountable, if they're damn worthy, how much more you who have had the light of the gospel, and some of you for many, many years. Even worse still, where will that put you if you were brought up in a covenant home with a mother and father, with a family who believed in and loved the Lord Jesus Christ and sought to teach you from infancy the way of the covenant, walking with Jesus in covenant friendship and love, but you kicked that back, you rejected that, you turned away from it in rebellion against your parents and against God. Where I ask you, do you think that will put you in that day when Jesus judges you? Think on it, my friends, please. Please, I ask you, think on it. He's coming. It's the next great event on God's calendar, the return of Jesus Christ, and following that, the judgment. What does the Bible say about a millennium? Well, I'll step in people's fingers, toes here, I think, maybe, but from my reading of the Bible, nothing. Nothing. No millennium. But the attitude of believers to this, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his judging the world in righteousness, the attitude of believers through the ages and now. Well, through the ages, I think there have been times when people have, believers I mean, people have been more, more aware of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. More discerning, more prepared, and you know, more looking for, hasting the coming of his day. But I think for now, I think generally speaking, I think there's a malaise on the church, there's a decline in the church. But then, of course, you see, that's just as the Bible says it would be, you know. Except there'll be a falling away, you see. He will not come until these things there are things, you see, there are signs that I said to begin with, there are signs by which we can discern his coming. And one of them is a falling away. Now you can see, look at the things that are happening. In the world, you've got this explosion of a sexual immorality, okay? In the world, I mean. You've got the advent even of, I mean, it's almost unbelievable it's moving so fast. Yeah? You've got the advent of communism here in Europe, here in the United Kingdom and most parts of Europe. It's sunk in communism. They call it socialism, it's the same thing. Communism, that's what it is. Just old-fashioned Stalinism. Yeah? But America, the land of the free, has just crumbled. It is, honestly, it is unbelievable the speed with which things are moving, but all paving the way for the coming of the Antichrist. Yeah? But that's the world, you see, but in the church, you've got the acceptance of the sexual revolution. Now you've got not only members of churches who are sodomites and lesbians, and then, same-sex marriages even. Even church officers and some, I was reading an article just yesterday, you know, of a church in the United States of America, Christian Reformed Church. Reformed, I ask you. They've got women church officers who are in same-sex marriages. Except there'd be a falling away. So, you see what I'm saying? The signs are there. They're there for you to see. Faith, yeah, but that takes faith and that takes an open Bible. And the studying of God's Word. So, what I'm saying is, you see, that the attitude of many people in the church is not what it should be. They talk about love like the world does, you know. And they talk about Jesus is a, well, I think of delusion as a figment of their own imaginations. The Bible, the Jesus, the mediator that the larger Westminster Catechism places before you is the Jesus that the Bible sets before you. And he's the only one who can save you. He's the one who hates sin. He's not easy going. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, but he's not easy going on sin. He hates sin. And he says to you, do not do this thing that I hate. Jeremiah 44, verse 4. God hates sin and workers of iniquity. He will have no truck with sin. So, what I'm saying is, you know, the signs are there. His coming, I do not believe, to be far away. The way is being paved for the beast out of the sea, the Antichrist. And that fearful, short, but very, very fearful reign. Oh, it's coming. And it's coming quickly. Very quickly. But then so too is Jesus. He's coming quickly. He's straining at the reins. Yeah. He's in a hurry to come. He's in a hurry to come. But there are things that must take place first. Yeah. There are things that must happen first. The falling away, the Antichrist, the beast, you know. All these things must be first. But then he will come. But for the believer, the one who trusts in Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, I mean, they are secure can be. No fear, we're secure, we're whole, we have hope, we have the victory certain. Jesus has won the victory for us. He's overcome sin and death and hell. Nothing to fear, not for the believer. But if you do not believe, then I do not wonder I hear of many people simply and only because of this present situation we're in now. I hear of people who are depressed and lonely, distressed and suicidal, and to be honest with you, I don't wonder at it. I wonder how people can live without faith in Jesus Christ, without the grace of God, without walking with God. I do not know how you get from one day to the next. But many, many are in that state and condition. And well, I set before you the truth, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is exalted to the right hand of the Father and who is coming, returning soon to judge the world in righteousness. I hope and I pray that in that day that he finds you in righteousness, in Christ that is. He is the righteousness of God. He is the mediator, he is the one who came and did all this that I've sought to explain to you, in order that you, by receiving him — he came to his own, but his own received him not — but to them who received him, who believed on his name, he gave the power, authority, right that is, to become children of God. Out of the family of the devil, children of wrath, into the family of God, a child of God, through faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. Oh, trust, believe, only believe, says Jesus. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, even your salvation this very day. Believe, believe, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do it. Do it now. Today. Get right with God. Well, you may. God bless you. And tomorrow we'll have a look at the benefits of Christ's mediation. Have a good day.